So, to the ears of we modern listeners, to the ears of us in 2019, this morning's teaching from Jesus about the rich man, this rich man who suddenly loses everything, might sound pretty callous, might even sound pretty cruel. Here's a man, a farmer, a hard worker, a good valley boy, you might say, and he's doing really well. This man is doing so well in his fields, his harvests are so abundant, that he decides to tear down his small barns that are no longer doing the job and build bigger barns to hold the abundance of his harvest. Now, when faced with a similar situation, would any of us do differently? I'm sure we can count the number of friends who we know who have torn down smaller barns at one time or another in the history of their farms and built larger barns to house more cattle, to house more pigs, more horses, more grain to get through the winter. I don't know about you, but behind our rectory, there's a garden. And it's doing so well this year that we just bought a new freezer. And Jillian has plans for me to clean out the old storage room in the basement this week. So much for where I was keeping the Christmas lights. I'm cleaning out the cold storage room this week. But seriously, folks, how is that any different? How is buying a small freezer and making more storage space different than what the rich man is doing in this parable? Is God now angry with me, angry with us, because we took advantage of a freezer sale at Costco? Is a lightning bolt going to come crashing down on me in the backyard as I was out there this morning and I wander out and pick three or four more zucchini? Maybe. I don't know. The truth is, none of us know. None of us ever really knows the precise moment in time when our journey on this earth will come to an end. Hopefully it won't be through a lightning bolt in my backyard, but none of us ever really know. But I also don't think that this parable this morning is entirely about the uncertainty of life. And I definitely do not think it's about a vengeful God who is determined to strike us down from on high. Let's look at this parable together. And in particular, I want to look at the rich man's language. With what words does the rich man speak, does the character speak, as Jesus relates to us this parable in the Gospel of Luke? And I quote, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" Now notice how the rich man's internal dialogue is entirely in the first person. And this just isn't a function of our English language. The original Greek text, the original Greek manuscripts of Luke's gospel make this point too. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. In the dialogue, it's all I's and my's. What should I do with my crops, my barns, my goods? At no point in this little story that Jesus tells us does the rich man ever refer to anybody but himself. In this little story, this little parable, it's all about him. There's no mention of God. No mention of the grace of God that has blessed the earth with such abundance, from which the rich man just happens by circumstance to be benefiting. Yeah, maybe he put some hard work in. Maybe he planned. But did he make the rain fall? Did he make the sun come? Did he make the bees come to pollinate the crops? This man hasn't been in it alone. But these harvests in this man's mind aren't God's. They're his property, his possessions, his to do with as he pleases. And what's more, there's never any mention of the community by this man, of other human beings. Never do the community, us, enter into the rich man's thinking. He never wonders, might I give some of this away? Might I sell some of this excess harvest so that I might raise the wages of a few of my laborers or set free a few of my slaves? He undoubtedly had laborers if he was a rich man in Jesus' time. He likely had slaves too. No, the focus in this little story, this little parable, is entirely on the man himself. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, etc., etc., etc. And to that, to all those I's and my's and inward focused thinking, God says to the man in the story, "You fool! You fool!" And to all of us, Jesus says, "You fools!" When we begin to put ourselves, our own needs, our own selfishness before God, especially when we begin to think of ourselves in isolation, to the exclusion of all others, our lives, the Christian way of life, the way of Jesus Christ, it can only be lived in communion, my friends. It can only be lived in community. Communion with God and communion with one another. None of us inhabit this world on our own. We are always and constantly in relationship. And relationship, my friends, it is the font, the baptismal font. It is the font of what matters most in this life. Relationships, God's relationship with the earth, that's what brings forth abundant harvests. Enough food, enough water, enough nourishment for all of us to share. It begins with relationship. It is our relationships with each other, our love for one another, our care for one another as brothers and sisters, that love that flows from Christ's unending love for us, that love that we share, it is what gives our life meaning. At the end of the day, it is what matters most. Not how much we have in the bank, not how much we have stored up in the barns. Love. Love is what makes our lives worth living. All of us go down to the dust. All of us, as we say in our funeral service, go down to the dust. Young and old, rich and poor, all of us, like the rich man at the end of today's story, we will one day go down to the dust. And love, that most precious and priceless treasure of love that flows from God, love is the only thing that we will one day be allowed to take with us. Amen.